Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes. If you need to reach out to me for any of your local real estate needs. Just a reminder, as always, you can like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things with regard to the show. Really, that's about the only thing I ask of you guys, that and to use me as your realtor, and that and as well, after you like, rate, review, subscribe, which I really appreciate if you guys could do that, please also look in the show notes for the info for Piper Insurance Group. They are this show's sponsor. They help me out with all of my home, auto, and umbrella insurance needs, and they'd be happy to help you out as well. If you contact them for a free quote today, they're an independent insurance agency, so they're not just stuck to one carrier. They can give you quotes on multiple different insurance carriers to give you the best possible coverage, including on investment properties, fix and flips, rentals, ground up new construction, commercial, all of those good things. And not just in South Carolina either. You've got properties in Georgia, you've got properties in North Carolina. They can help you out in those areas as well. So please reach out to Piper Insurance Group. Their information is also in the show notes. Okay, so as we've been, you know, looking back and looking forward and doing all of these different things, if you guys have listened to the show very much, you know that I'm a big numbers guy. I really like the market stats that the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors publishes every month. Oftentimes we go over that monthly in the show. But those stats don't tell you everything, right? First off, they only look back 1 year. They don't look back, you know, multiple years. Now, the charts that are in there, you can kind of reverse engineer some multi-year trends that way. But it's also, it doesn't get into the weeds on everything to the extent that I sometimes like to get into the weeds. So I would like to get into the weeds on some of the changes, some of the shifts that are happening in the Greenville market over the past 3 years, right? The past 3 years have seen the shift from that that post-COVID low interest rate quantitative easing environment into this now COVID really isn't even thought of anymore. And now we are in a more of a quantitative tightening, higher mortgage rate environment. According to Mortgage News Daily, rates are sitting in the low sevens. The 10-year yield, as of me recording this on January 7th, has been continuing to go up, which means that mortgage rates are going to, at the very least, not come down and probably will continue to go up until that trend reverses, which I imagine won't happen until after Trump's presidency. We'll see. The markets do weird things where they're hedging against things in the future. All sorts of things happen. But here we are now. We've had 2022, which was half the year of 2022, was in this environment, right? This higher mortgage rate, not really concerned about COVID environment. All of 2023 and all of 2024 was in that environment. So we've got 2.5, if you want to be generous, 3 years of data now where we can look back and see how things have shifted. And that's exactly what I plan to do. I pulled an unbelievable amount of data on every single closing in the Greenville MLS from 22, 23, and 24. And I analyzed this data from a gazillion different ways. I didn't analyze it to try to reverse engineer a certain result. I analyzed it just in whole, and then just broke it down by year. And then once I did that, and the way I'm explaining this, you're probably like, there's so many better ways to do that. Well, I'm not explaining it well. But regardless, I broke down a bunch of data regardless of whether or not I knew it would be interesting, and then looked at the comparisons, charted it all out, and then basically pared it down to the things that I think that you guys will be interested in the most, the things that I'm interested in the most. Those tend to typically go hand in hand. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things, all the way from lot sizes down to types of financing and how trends have changed the past 3 years. And so we're going to start with that first thing I mentioned, which is lot size. This has been, and there are some very predictable changes. A lot of these things you guys are going to be like, yeah, I already knew that. Yeah, but until you actually see the data, you don't know that. There's a lot of times that I look at data and the intuitive thing ends up not being what happens. Sometimes there are some very counterintuitive things in the data. We talk about that a good bit. When it comes to lot size, if your intuition is that lots are getting smaller, your intuition is correct. I looked at both the average and the median when it came to lot sizes, and here's what I came up with. This is actually an astonishing number to me. In 2022, the average acreage size was 1.89 was the average. Now, we're going to look at this in a minute. That was skewed in some way, shape, or form. Now, as part of this data, I didn't pull land, okay? So just to be clear, this was only residential lots that had improvements on them. So there's no land in this discussion at all, in case you're wondering. But obviously in 2022, there must have been a lot of sales of homes on very, very large lots because that skewed the average. Now the median, which is really a better metric, because obviously the average lot in Greenville really doesn't have 1.89 acres, right? If you're listening to this from outside of Greenville and you're like, oh my gosh, the average home in Greenville is on 2 acres. No. We need to look at the median. The median was 0.3, so less than a third of an acre. That is more what you would expect, okay? That was in 2022. Now, the average in 2023 dropped from 1.89 to 0.84 as the average. What did the median do? The median also dropped to 0.29. What happened in 2024? Both of them dropped again. The average lot size dropped to 0.78, and the median dropped to 0.27. I think that these are, I think, again, you can't base too much on the average outside of, we're seeing a consistent trend of both the average and the median that they're going down. Lot sizes are getting smaller. The fact that we had 2022 with that really, really big average, and then that number has come down in multiple consecutive years as well, that tells me that the large lot, you know, the homes that are on really, really large lots with big, you know, 10, 15, 20 acre lots, those would be the ones that would be skewing those averages, that we've had fewer of those the past 2 years as well. And a lot of that may just be that people bought them when interest rates were low. And remember during COVID, the idea of having a huge lot was super duper popular. And I have personally seen this. A lot of people ended up realizing that they couldn't keep up with those lots, you know, and once they realized that COVID wasn't going to be a permanent, you know, problem, right? That we weren't just going to be social distancing for the rest of our lives. A lot of people ended up with buyer's remorse. They realized, I can't keep up with this. There's no way. And so I've seen several situations where people have sold off those larger lot properties in order to buy smaller lot properties. And they would prefer a 0.27 acre lot, which is now the median in Greenville. But these are the trends, right? In order to make housing more affordable, what developers have to do is they have to develop on lots that are smaller. That's the only way to do it. That makes things more affordable in multiple ways. The main one is just density, right? They can fit more homes on tracts of land. Now, Greenville County Council hates this, right? They don't want this. None of the counties do. Pickens County doesn't like it either. Spartanburg County, they're not quite as against it, but they don't love it. Lawrence County, they don't love it either. Oconee County, they don't love it either. Most of these counties, they don't want to see these lot sizes getting smaller. They want to see bigger lots. And unfortunately, though, these counties also don't have any solutions for the housing affordability crisis that we have nationwide and in Greenville. And so they're squeezing developers, trying to get them to do larger lots, but also not doing anything to solve the systemic issues in housing affordability that we've talked about a lot on the show in the past. Moving on, right? We've talked a lot about lot sizes. Let's talk about the sold price per square foot, okay? This is something that we do look at in the GJR market stats, but I just wanted to go ahead. Again, I don't oftentimes compare it for 3 years in a row. And just know that these numbers might not completely match what the Association of Realtors publishes because they're, again, the way I pulled my data is going to be different than the way they pulled their data. But here's the trend, right? Sold price per square foot average in 2022 was 197 and change a square foot. In 2023, it dropped to 192 a square foot. And then in 2024, it hopped back up to 271 a square foot. So that's the average. We're going to come back to that. But in keeping the back of your head here, that the price per square foot tends to be more expensive on newer homes, okay? And if you're thinking about that and thinking, well, I don't know if that's true. I see some really nice older homes. No, trust me on this one. You can buy a 5,000 square foot home in some ritzy communities for roughly $1 million, right? That's $200 a square foot. Whereas if you go and buy a 1,500 square foot home in Taylor's, for instance, that's brand new, it's going to be $350,000 in a lot of instances. Now, again, you don't nitpick with me on this. There's going to be some communities that are going to be cheaper than that, but that's just an example. That would be more than $200 a square foot. So these are the dynamics that we see. Now, the median price per square foot, 2022 was 160, 2023 was 165, and 2024 was 168. So this is a more linear, right? A linear increase that we are seeing in the sold price per square foot in the median. Pretty consistent, right? Seeing about, you know, roughly a 2% increase per year on the price per square foot. And I would put more stock in that versus the average. The averages are going to be skewed, again, by luxury homes, by non-luxury homes. There's all sorts of things that can happen in a year that can skew an average, but the median typically doesn't lie. And the median tells us that the sold price per square foot's been going up. That's inflation, right? That's to be expected. Even if the overall cost of housing is, quote-unquote, getting cheaper, it's really not, because the price per square foot is getting more expensive. And that's something, if you're a realtor listening to this, that's something to tell your clients. If your clients are saying, if you hear people saying, you know, well, the price of real estate is getting cheaper right now, point to this number, that the sold price per square foot has gotten more expensive the past 3 years, each year the past 3 years. And so what that means is that maybe there's a scenario in which the broader housing market has gotten cheaper, in the sense that there are cheaper options now to purchase than there were a year ago, but those options are smaller, okay? And that's what's happening, is we're seeing what some people have called shrinkflation. You don't typically hear this in the housing market. You typically hear this with regard to groceries, for instance. You know, what 18 eggs used to cost, a dozen and a half, is now the price for a dozen eggs. And they no longer, you know, the companies that did 18 eggs maybe now are only doing a dozen. That's a bad example. But that's an example of shrinkflation, but it's happening in the housing market. Okay, moving on from shrinkflation, which is a funny word. Let's talk about concessions, right? Concessions are a question I get a lot. And concessions are simply, at least the way I'm using them, it's how much is the seller offering to the buyer in a real estate transaction to basically help them with their closing costs or help them with mortgage buy downs, things of that nature. And we went through a stretch from 2020 through the middle of 2022 where there basically weren't concessions. And I had a lot of buyer clients that were confused by that hadn't been keeping up with the trends and thought historically sellers pay something towards buyer closing costs. And that was, for the most part, true. I mean, it's not true in every instance. That's not going to happen in a bidding war kind of situation. But average concessions do typically be, they're typically going to be above zero. By the way, in case you're wondering, some of these, I included the average and the median. In some cases, I only did the average or the median. In those instances, it was because I found that one was more accurate than the other for one reason or another, okay? And the other one was just a junk number if I left it off. In this case, the median concessions is zero for every single year, okay? And that's pretty normal, right? The median is just taking the middle number in a sequence of numbers. So in every one of these, the median was no concessions, but that's not really accurate. We're seeing a lot of concessions right now. And so here are the averages. In 2022, the average was 1,394. So for a standard real estate transaction, you could expect the seller to be paying about $1,400 towards the buyer's closing costs. In 23, it was 2,987. So basically 3,000, close to 3,000. And then in 24, it was 3,469, basically 3,500. So we've gone from 2022, 1,400 to 2023, 3,000 to 2024, 3,500. So again, if you're talking to your, if you're a realtor, talk to your clients, you can tell them 3,500 is on average what sellers are paying to buyers for their concessions. If you're a seller, you can expect to pay roughly that amount. Now, keep that, keep in mind with that, that the average home sale right now, there's been some wonky numbers in averages, but, and again, I'm talking average, not median. The averages have been in like the high 300s, 375, 380, something like that. It's pretty normal right now in the greater Greenville area. So we're talking about pretty close to 1% of the purchase price is ultimately being what sellers are paying in concessions. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, here's something I found very interesting. I took the average year built, and funny enough, I did not make a note in my notes of whether this actually was the average or the median. Let me see if I, yeah, I don't have it available. I can't remember whether I took the average or the median for this, but just know I took the one that was accurate. Okay. Year built, I'm just going to say average because for the purposes of just saying it, but 2022, it was 2008. So the average home that was sold in 2022 was from 2008. That is a pretty normal, that's kind of what I would expect, right? About a 15-year-old home. That is, you know, when a lot of my clients are looking, a lot of times they're looking at homes about that age, right? Because once you get above 20 years old, those homes are starting to typically need some maintenance. Once you get below 10 years old, those homes tend to be a little bit more expensive. So between 10 and 20 years is a really nice sweet spot where you can get some good value for a home that still doesn't need a tremendous amount of work yet, right? A lot of, you know, homes in that range will still have the original AC that's working, or it might already have a replacement AC. The original roof should still be functional. Things of that nature should still be fine. However, we see a huge change in the next 2 years. In 2023, the year built average jumps up to 2015, and then in 2024, up to 2017, right? So in 2024, the average home sale was a home that was only 7 years old. That has to be some sort of a record. And this is being skewed, obviously, by all of the new construction that we're having, right? Because if you're looking at averages, having a bunch of new construction sell over a period of time is going to skew those averages. And that, I am very, very confident that's what's happening, because builders have been offering all these different incentives, rate buy downs, all sorts of things that are just blowing all the resale home, all the resale listings out of the water, right? Why wouldn't you buy a brand new home with a 5% interest rate as opposed to a home from 2008 with a 7% mortgage rate? Doesn't make sense to do the latter, right? You got to do the former. And that's what a lot of people have concluded as well. And so this is what has driven up this number. The average home sale now is a newer home. If you're trying to sell an older home, you need to be prepared for this, right? You are competing like no other market against new construction. Now, I expect that this will probably reverse course a little bit this year, but we need to see mortgage rates come down a little bit. But what we have seen is some of the builders, some of these rate buy down options and different creative finance options that they've been doing, they're starting to run out of steam a little bit. It hasn't worked quite as well for them in recent months as it did earlier. So we'll have to keep monitoring this. Maybe I'll do a similar episode to this next year and we can see how 2025 shakes out. Let's look at days on market, okay? This is a stat that we look at in the Greenville Association of Realtors market stats, but I wanna look at it here as well. I've got the average and the median. So the average days on market for 22 was 30 days. The average for 23 was 53, basically 54 days, and then the average for 24 was 59 days, okay? If you look at the median was 8 days in 22, 23 days in 23, that's good, 23 and 23, and 31 days in 2024. So what am I concluding from this? Well, we talk about the days on market, all of that, in when we go over the market stats. So I'm not going to get too into the weeds on this. I just want to show you, talk or discuss that both the average and the median are showing the same trend line, that they both have been increasing. So basically, no matter how you parse it out, right, no matter how you look at the data, it's taking longer to sell homes now than it did 2 years ago. Now, depending on how you're looking at this, if you're looking at the average, it's taking twice as long to sell a home as it did in 2022. If you're looking at the median, it's taking four times as long to sell a home as it did in 2022. So again, if you're a seller, you need to be prepared for that. It's just taking longer right now to sell homes than your neighbors experienced a few years ago when they sold, even back in 2022, right? We're no longer comparing back to flawed data in 2020 and 2021 when the market was so insane. No, no, no. 2022, yes, the market, you know, still hadn't normalized yet, but it was a lot more normal. And even despite that, we still are seeing some dramatic differences from then. Here's one that we don't talk about a lot. How about garage capacity? Okay, I found this one to be interesting. 2022, the average garage capacity was 1.48, okay? In 2023, that ticked up to 1.52. And in 2024, it ticked up to 1.55. Now, this could be attached or detached garage. But I find it very interesting that now we've had, we finally crossed the 1.5 garage capacity threshold, and it looks like we're poised to keep going up. People don't want one-car garages anymore. They want 2, 3, 4-car garages, and that's being reflected in the data. And again, that's telling me that new home builders have gotten with the program. They are basically only doing 2-car garages now, with some exceptions. And what's interesting is that now we're seeing a lot more townhomes with garages, right? There was a stretch where townhomes in Greenville weren't built without garages. So now, you know, whereas we had a lot of in the data sample a few years ago, we would have a lot of 0-garage homes being sold. Now there's almost none of those. So almost every home now has a garage, and almost every new home has a 2-car garage. And that's what we're seeing in the data. Right now, if you have fewer than a 2-car garage, you're really in the minority, because the average right now is 1.55. And you need to be prepared for that as well. That does not help. If you're selling a home, you don't have a garage, that really hurts. If you don't, you know, if you have a 1-car garage, that's better. If you have a 2-car garage, that's gold. That's really what you want right now. I think that we're kind of entering a period here. We might already be in it. I don't know, but where the two car garage is comparable to the primary bedroom being on the main level, right? That's one of the most, that's one of the simplest things that's like almost universally wanted, is for the main bedroom, the primary bedroom, to be on the main level. And that's always a value add for every single home. That's a value add. And we're starting to see, I think, that the 2-car garage is kind of being similar to the primary on main, being just kind of an expectation. This is just what people want now. All right, moving on. Let's look at foreclosures and short sales. Now, we've talked about this a little bit, where we've seen more of them, but still not seen many of them. And that is reflected in the data as well. These aren't averages or medians. These are totals. In 2022, we had 51 total foreclosures. In 2023, 63. And in 2024, 69. Now, this is the multiple listing service data, and these are the ones that sold. These don't include foreclosure sales and things like that. I don't get into that data at all when we're having these sorts of discussions. But that's what we saw. Foreclosures went, they've been steadily increasing, but by steadily, not by that much, right? They went up from 51 to 63. That's a big jump, right? That's a 20% plus jump. But then from 63 to 69, that's a 10% jump. That doesn't really tell me a whole lot outside of it confirms what I already knew, which was that I've seen more, but still not that many. Short sales, same story. 8 short sales in 2022, 14 in 2023, and only 16 in 2024. Basically didn't change year on year with regard to that. Not a whole lot of short sales right now. And, you know, borrowers right now have a lot of options if they get underwater on their loans. There's a lot of things that they can do in order to prevent going into foreclosure or prevent having to do a short sale. And so I think that these numbers are going to continue to be quite low, particularly in the single family space. Multifamily space, I could see them being more in trouble. There's fewer options for them if they get in trouble. But we'll have to keep watching that, because again, we're not seeing a ton of foreclosures in that space either. Square footage. Let's look at the median for that. The median square foot for a sold home in 2022 was 1,868. That went up to 1,905 in 2023, and then ticked up only slightly to 1,907 in 2024. So the main thing is we're seeing the trend line continue. Again, new construction is driving this. But this is what you're finding. People, you know, it used to be that an average home was, you know, 13, 14, 1,500 square feet. People want more space now. They want 18, 19, 2,000 square feet plus that two-car garage, okay? So that's what builders are having to fight against. That's why lot sizes are getting smaller, because it used to be you would throw a 1,200 square foot home on a 1.2-acre lot, and people wanted that. And you could make money doing something like that. Well, you can't make money doing something like that anymore. People don't want a 1,200 square foot house. They wouldn't. And a lot of them don't want the 1.2 acres. They might want it, but then they can't afford to have all that they want. So these are dynamics that we're seeing, and the home builders are basically following what the market is telling them to do. Similar with HOAs. Let's talk about HOAs for a second. I get a lot of questions, people relocating down here about HOAs. I looked at both what percentage of sold properties had HOAs, and then whether those HOAs were annual or monthly. And here's what I found. No HOA versus yes HOA, okay? In 2022, 45% of homes had no HOA, 55% did have an HOA. That shifted in 2022 to 43%, so it went down. 43% didn't have an HOA, 57% did. And that trend continued even more dramatically in 2024. Well, I shouldn't say too much more. About the same trend. 41% no HOA, 59% yes had an HOA. And so we're almost at 60-40 now in terms of closings, whether they have an HOA or not. If you are in a home that doesn't have an HOA, you're in the minority. And guess what? That makes it more valuable. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of people looking for no HOA. Anything that is in the minority, unless you're in the minority because of something undesirable, generally speaking, if you're in the minority in some way in any of these numbers, there is an opportunity there for you potentially if you're selling a home. What about the annual versus monthly splits? Annual was in 2022 was 76%. Monthly was 24%. Of HOAs. In 2023, basically the same. It ticked up slightly, 76 and change versus 23 and change, but basically the same with 76% being annual HOA, roughly 24% being monthly. And then the trend continued with more annual HOAs, fewer monthly HOAs in 2024. It was 77.5% annual HOAs versus 22.5% monthly HOAs in 2024. So interesting trend. We are seeing annual HOAs increase and monthly HOAs decrease. People don't like monthly HOAs, okay? And, you know, there were a lot of townhomes built between 2020 and 2022, people kind of felt forced to buy them, even though, you know, there's very few people that prefer a townhome over a single family home, over a detached single family home. But those townhomes pretty much always have monthly HOAs. Well, I think we're seeing the market normalize a little bit now. People can be pickier. They don't feel like they have to buy a townhome or a home with a monthly HOA. Nobody likes to pay that. I mean, you're talking about, in some cases, an extra $150 to $200 a month that you have to pay. That's a lot of money, right? And for some people, that's their entire utility bill will be $150 to $200 a month. And you're just paying that towards your HOA. Nobody wants to do that. So we're seeing a trend line again. I think builders are realizing people don't want these monthly HOAs. They're not buying the townhomes to the extent that they were before. We need to shift our strategy here, and that's what they're doing. Another question I get from out of town folks a lot: basement homes. People from outside of Greenville, particularly if they're coming from the north, they're confused by our basement situation down here, right? We don't have as many basements as other parts of the country do, despite the fact that Greenville is kind of hilly, right? You would expect there to be more basements here, and I've talked about this a little bit on the show in the past, but unfortunately, if you like basement homes, they are also in the decline. If you're in a basement home, you have a prime piece of real estate because of this. So 2022, 8% of homes sold had a basement, 92% did not. In 2023, those numbers came down a little bit. 7.5% roughly had a basement. 92.5% did not. And then in 2024, that trend continued to 6.5% having a basement. 93.5% roughly not having a basement. And so the trend line is, again, there are almost no new construction basement homes being built right now. The ones that are anomalies, right? That you don't see developments coming in that are just building basement homes. What you'll see is you'll see developments that are coming in that are building a bunch of homes, and there's one part of the subdivision that has like really steep lots, and they'll just throw a few basement homes, in that section of the neighborhood just to make it work. This is what I experienced when I lived in Chartwell Estates. I lived in the section of the neighborhood that was right up against the airport, and there was a big, big drop-off down towards a creek, and so they built a bunch of basement homes right there. And guess what? Those were the most desirable homes in Chartwell Estates, the homes that have sold the best, because people love basements, despite appraisers hating them, which they do, which we've talked about before on the show. But unfortunately, only 6.5% of homes that sold last year had a basement. So if you're wanting it, you're really up against competition with other people that want those basement homes as well. All right, last but not least, I looked at the different ways that people bought homes, what kind of financing or non-financing that they used. And here's what I found. Cash transactions over the past 3 years. 25.24% of transactions were cash in 22. That ticked up a little bit to 25.29% in 23. And that ticked down a little bit in 2024 to 23.59%. If you guys listen to my bold predictions, I said I expect that to continue to trend down a little bit in 2025. We'll see. Conventional financing. Now, conventional financing is very frequently going to be your step-up buyers, right? There are sometimes first-time home buyers that can get conventional financing. But if you're looking at your stereotypical person buying a home with conventional financing, it's typically not a first-time home buyer. It's typically a step-up buyer. And so here's what we've seen. Conventional finance purchases in 22, 54.77%. That went down to 50.15% in 23 and continued down to 47.99% in 24. The step-up buyer is being crushed by mortgage rates. Like, that's what's happening here. They are being crushed. They have golden handcuffs, as some people call it, for the home that they're living in, mainly for the mortgage rate that they have, and they are having a hard time moving, whereas normally they would have already moved. They're struggling to move. So we're below 50%. I don't know. I'd like to go back historically to see how long it's been since we've been below 50% of closings being conventional, because that's by far been the majority of closings in the past, just anecdotally to me. But we're now at basically at 48% of closings are conventional, and then the rest are all these other options. So let's go through the other options. FHA. Okay, this is your standard first-time home buyer loan product. 11.9% of closings were FHA in 2022. That went up to 16.2% in 23 and continued up to 19.76% in 2024. Expect that to continue going up. Now, from 2020 through 2020, through the middle of 2022, FHA buyers were getting crushed, right? Because they're competing with all these cash and conventional borrowers that were stronger borrowers. But sellers can't be so picky anymore. So now we're seeing almost 20% of buyers having FHA financing. Good if you're a first-time home buyer. That, as much as anything in this data, indicates that it's gotten better for you. VA contracts made up only 6.41% of closings in 2022, went up a little bit to 6.87% in 2023, and continued that trend to 7.37% in 2024. So basically, it's gone up. It's gone up an entire percentage point essentially since 2022. VA is never going to make up a huge portion of transactions, but this is a good trend, right? We need our veterans to be able to afford housing, and the VA program is one of the crucial ways that they can. It's a great program. President Trump, he expanded that program greatly in his first term. Biden expanded it a little bit in his term. Basically, everyone acknowledges that this is a great way. It's a great benefit to help out veterans. It doesn't cost U.S. government as much as some of the other veterans benefits, but it's really, really valuable. So I'm glad to see that tick up a little bit. Last but not least, USDA rural housing loans. These are, if you're willing to live out into a rural area, you can access these loans, and it's a way to get a great loan program with oftentimes a 0% down payment, no PMI, all sorts of potential benefits to USDA, but very few people get them. In 2022, 1.68% of closings were USDA. In 2023, 1.5%, and then in 2024, only 1.28%. So not a lot of USDA closings right now. And again, I think a lot of this has to do with people are having to buy they're not able to live out in the country. They're having to buy closer to the city, and they're having to buy these newer neighborhoods that don't qualify for USDA. And so we're seeing that number come down quite a bit. But there's one thing that's true for all of these years, and that is that conventional dominated, coming in at roughly half of transactions, and cash transactions were second with roughly a quarter, and then the rest, FHA, VA, USDA, make up the other quarter of transactions. And I think that those numbers are pretty normal. It's just a matter of which goes up and which goes down in a given year. And I've already discussed some of that, so I'm not going to get any more into the weeds, but let me know. That's it for today's episode. Let me know if you have any questions about any of that. I'd be happy to discuss that with you guys. You can comment on YouTube and I will respond to that. Ask a question on YouTube. Rate this show, please, and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. If you can leave a short review, that'd be great as well. Reach out to Piper Insurance in the show notes. Reach out to me. My contact info is in the show notes as well. And we will talk again next time.